In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Greetings, brothers and sisters. So it's hard to believe that in only 10 days we will celebrate the Nativity of Christ. And today, this is the second Sunday before the Nativity, we honor the holy forefathers or ancestors of the Lord. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verse 27, we read about how Luke and Cleopas, the disciples of the Lord, were walking on the road to Emmaus after Christ's crucifixion. And they did not yet understand everything concerning his resurrection. And Christ suddenly joined them, kind of incognito, and asked what they had been talking about. And yet, you know, they didn't really recognize him. So they asked him if he was only a stranger in Jerusalem. And they wondered how it was that he did not hear about Jesus of Nazareth and how he'd been crucified, and they had hoped that he would, you know, be the Messiah. And then the Lord said to them, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." So here the Lord shows how he was prefigured in the Old Testament, you know, all the way beginning with Adam through the time of John the Baptist. And in fact, the whole of the Old Testament was essentially a preparation for the coming of Christ. And as we heard at the Vespers service last night, "Come, all you who love the feast, let us praise in psalms the assembly of the forefathers, Adam, our first father, Enoch, Noah, Melchizedek, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and those who came after the law, Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Samuel and David, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel and Daniel, and with them the 12 prophets, Elijah, Elisha, and all the rest, Zechariah and John the Baptist, all those who proclaim Christ, the life and the resurrection of the human race." So these are our forefathers that all played an important role in helping prepare the world for the coming of Christ. And yet, when it was time for the Savior to appear, many people, including some of his own disciples, did not really comprehend the significance or the time of his appearing. I mean, they didn't believe that it really was him, and that it really was the time that this was really happening. And then, you know, in his ministry, of course, many people did not accept him as well. But it would seem that things have not changed that much, since many today seem to regard the Nativity of Christ in terms of its significance to the consumer economy. You know, they talk about, you know, if depending on the sales of during the Christmas season, that kind of is a bellwether of our, you know, of our economy. So today's gospel gives us a glimpse of why that is so. "A certain man gave a great dinner and invited many to come." And the Holy Fathers tell us that this certain man is actually God. And the Holy Fathers see the dinner or supper as an image of the heavenly banquet that those who accept the invitation will enjoy in the kingdom of heaven. And when we say the morning prayers, we read, "May we not be found fallen and idle, but watching and upright in activity, ready to accompany him into the joy and divine palace of his glory, where there is the ceaseless sound of those that keep festival, and the unspeakable delight of those that behold the ineffable beauty of thy countenance." So the Lord compares the kingdom of heaven to a great banquet or feast, but also as an image of the heavenly church on earth. However, some do not come to the feast when they are invited because they are concerned with worldly things. And the Holy Fathers talk about how the five yoke of oxen represent our five senses. So sometimes we get too caught up in just the material world, what we can see and hear and smell and taste and touch. And they talk about how the guy that bought the field is just, you know, the concern with profit and making money and real estate investments and worldly things like that. And they talk about how, the guy that married the wife and couldn't come, that in a sense, it represents the sensual pleasures. And of course, you know, the Lord is not saying that it's wrong to have a job and to earn money or to be married and raise children, or to use our senses, you know, but it's when we become so preoccupied with the material way of life that we forget about the heavenly life. That's when there's a problem. That's when we miss out on this invitation. So let's think about this for a minute. What's the difference between just a normal dinner and a great feast, you know, like a wedding feast. Well, a feast, by definition, is really where you have a lot more delicious food and drink than you can possibly take in. That's what makes a feast, you know. And liturgically, Pascha is called the Feast of Feasts. And the church gives us also 12 other major feasts throughout the year. In addition, there's many other feasts that are celebrated. And yet, while we may have special foods and music and various traditions, these great feasts of the church really are primarily spiritual in nature. They are very rich in spiritual meaning and experience for us. You know, for example, at Pascha, we've been preparing for 40 days through the fast of Great Lent. And so when we celebrate Pascha, we participate in a mystical way in Christ's resurrection. And so too, with the Nativity of Christ, we prepare for 40 days with the Nativity fast. And again, we mystically participate in the birth of Christ. And yet, we've all heard the expression, you must be present to win. You know, they talk about that in, you know, contests and things like, or drawings or whatever. You know, you'll hear this. Well, everyone is invited to participate in the feasts of God, but we must participate by being present and lifting up our hearts and minds to God along with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In other words, the sacraments have, they do have actually a sort of a material component. That's why we have the divine services, we have vestments, you know, we have the church is all set up, we have holy oil, we have actually the sacrament of communion, which is bread, the bread and wine that's mystically changed into the body and blood of Christ. And we cannot really receive and partake of these sacraments unless we actually come to receive them. You know, you can't give confession over the telephone or by email or something like this. You know, these things have to actually be happening physically because the Holy Spirit moves through the form of the church itself. And while it might be tempting to miss some of these feasts in order to attend to other more important matters, we should all take to heart the words of the Lord, "None of those which were bidden," in other words, those who declined to come, "shall taste of my supper." And in other words, none of us really knows the time of our departure from this life. And whereas an earthly dinner might last only one evening, the heavenly feast lasts for all eternity. So let us therefore, brothers and sisters, take advantage of every opportunity we can to celebrate this heavenly feast that our Lord gives us, and to join with those that keep festival and behold the ineffable beauty of God's countenance. Glory be to our God.